I'm going to be reading from Psalm 91 this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. And also from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Our PowerPoint, my PowerPoint, is not compatible with your computer, and so therefore I don't have a PowerPoint, so you're going to have to listen to me real closely this morning. Well, the wind is blowing again. Not exactly the type of wind that we would like to be blowing. This wind is the reason why some of you are without power, and we would certainly like to have the wind blowing that brings power. The wind of the Holy Spirit. And if we could only experience the wind of the Holy Spirit to the magnitude of the winds that we experienced overnight, we would certainly go somewhere. We would be moved. Things would happen. And so that's what we're praying for in these days in which we live, these days of uncertainty, for God's Spirit to be manifested. And we're so thankful that we have a hope this morning. I'm reading from Psalm 91, as I just mentioned, from Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. And as I read this, I want you to get the imagery. I want you to get the picture that is painted for us in words this morning by the psalmist in Psalm number 91. And it's very important because it will serve as the background or the backdrop for the message this morning. And here's what the psalmist says. He says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand." In verse 2, he says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust with great confidence and on whom I rely. For He will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you and completely protect you with His pinions. And under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall." I want you to particularly focus on verse number 4. It says, "He will cover you and completely protect you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge." You get a picture of protection, of shelter, of security. It's like a chick or an egg that has been placed under the mother hen. It's covered by the feathers and the wings in this secure place of protection. That's the imagery that I want you to capture right at the beginning of my message this morning. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3, this is what Paul says. "For you died," referring to the things of this world, "and your life," your new life now, "is hidden with Christ in God." This morning I'm going to share with you on the subject of security in uncertainty. Security in uncertainty. And one thing that is certain in our time is uncertainty. The times in which we find ourselves are compatible to that which Paul describes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm not going to go there this morning and unfold that for you, but I'll reference it so that you can take note of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then in your own time, I would ask you to go back and to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there you will get a picture of our times. And Paul said, be certain that in the last days, perilous, difficult, troublesome times are going to come. So it's no surprise to those of us who study the Bible, the Word of God, and are aware of the times in which we live, that there is to be uncertainty. And so one thing that remains certain in our times is uncertainty. And uncertainty feeds anxiety and depression, which is described as the common cold of the 21st century. You have never heard before, to the extent that we are aware of it today, of the presence of stress and worry and anxiety and depression. Times have changed dramatically in my lifetime. Uncertainty of our times has eroded security until security is practically absent in today's world. Yet, security is one of the basic needs of humanity. Actually, we cry out for it the minute that we are born. You take a newborn baby that comes out of the security of the environment in which it was developing for 9 months, and immediately is thrust out into this sterile, cold, bright, noisy environment, totally vulnerable. And what does the baby do? The baby cries. It's expressing a need. And the nurse takes the baby and wraps the baby tightly in a blanket. And they've discovered that's important, that the blanket be tight. And so with the presence of the blanket and the warmth of the blanket, there comes a security. And the baby's need is met, and so the baby stops crying. Security is one of the basic human needs that we have, and the uncertainty of our times has eroded security until it's practically absent in today's world. Now, I'm going to just highlight some of the changes that I have observed throughout my lifetime, and you probably can relate to it. Remember when? Remember when babies were secure in the womb? Abortion changed that. When I was an unborn baby in my mother's womb, abortion was not even thought about, much less an option to end a pregnancy. And so when she came to full term, I was born. And I happened to be born a male. That's the way I was created. And now, 65 years later, I don't have any confusion about it. I'm still a male. Now, given for 9 months, I was a male that was trapped in a female body. But when I came out, I was male. And it's not confusing at all. Now, I'm not being trite or making light of the fact that that's an issue today. People are confused. We have males that have the male body parts, but they think that they're female. We have females with female body parts that think they are male. And it's a matter of confusion, and it's so confusing now that they're bringing it right down into the elementary schools and telling the children that they can choose their own identity. That's the confusion, the gender confusion. Now, that was never an issue in my time. And so I can't relate to it. I'm not going to judge or condemn. I'm just going to say I cannot relate to the confusion that exists today over gender. It was simple back in my time. It's goes right back to God created man and woman. Male and female created he them. It never changed. But in the confusion of the uncertainty of the times in which we live, people are even confused whether they're male or they are female. Remember when security was found in the family? Today it is a rarity to find a loving home with two parents that love one another and love their children. It's an exception today. It's very hard to find that type of a family. Remember when school used to be safe and a secure place? An attack with an automatic weapon to slaughter innocent kids was inconceivable. Remember when the house of worship was called the sanctuary? The idea of having armed guards in the place of worship was, and may I add, still preposterous. But that's what we've come to. That if you go into the sanctuary that once was the place of peace and refuge and security, in our day, you need to have security on the outside for fear somebody will come in and slaughter you. That's the day that we live in. That's where we are. Remember when jobs were secure? I grew up in a town where there were two major employers. It was the railway and the pulp and paper mill. And your job was secure. If you got on with either one of these companies, then you could live out your entire career. Neither one of them exists anymore back where I came from. Remember the day when Medicare promised the best in health services in our country? That's not the case today. In this province, we cannot even provide proper ambulance services because of the dispute over bilingualism. Pregnant women in this area were warned last weekend if they went into labor to take a deep breath and drive to Fredericton or Edmundston because the Upper River Valley Hospital did not have a surgeon available to do a C-section if required. And I believe this morning that there is a correlation between the burden on the healthcare system, the immigration problem that we have in our country, and abortion. Think about it for a moment. Think about all the unborn babies who didn't get to see the light of day in our country. And think about it. If they all had lived, they'd be adults today, many of them. And they would be contributing to society and to the economy. They would all fill roles as professionals or blue-collar workers or tradespeople. They would be probably married and having families of their own. And the tax base would be broadened and there'd be more money in the economy to be able to provide the healthcare services that we need. And the monies that we need to take care of our seniors and address other important things. But you see, we are underpopulated. And we have to open our borders to immigrants because if we don't, we'll have no nation. We don't have children to the level that we should have had them. And we don't have people to employ and do the work and fill the vacancies that exist. And so as a result, there is a burden not only on our healthcare system, there is a burden on our economy in general. If we had the money that would have come from those individuals being gainfully employed, and the money that was spent on giving abortions and invested into our economy, we would have no problem in terms of population, and we would have, in my opinion, amounts that could be contributed to all of the service needs that's required and is a burden to provide today. Remember when the government provided strong leadership? Leadership that was based on values, based on morals? Well, it seems as if the best they can offer in these times is to provide or promote two of the basic coping mechanisms of avoidance and escape. These are basic mechanisms that we develop to avoid being uncomfortable or to avoid pain. We will either avoid it being proactive by taking medication or not going into that situation that would be painful or uncomfortable, or we will escape. If we're in a situation that's uncomfortable or painful, we will try to escape. That we're wired that way. And we are in such pain emotionally today in our world that the government, the best it seems that they can offer us is to promote avoidance and escape. Avoid the discomfort of insecurity. Purchase legalized marijuana and get high. And forget about all of your problems as if they never existed. Escape reality. Buy lotto tickets and gamble at government-approved casinos and hope to become a millionaire. How many people do you encounter that are taken up in that fantasy? I'm going to be a millionaire one of these days. A multimillionaire. I'm going to win the lotto. Then all my problems are going to be solved. I can go where I like, do what I like, and have all the money that I need to just take care of my pleasure. And so they live in this fantasy, hoping that they're going to be able to escape, and their fantasy is going to become real. And this is what the government, our government, is offering us. Legalize marijuana so we can self-medicate. Lotto tickets and casinos so that we can fantasize escaping from the reality of the uncertainty of our times in which we live. Not taking into account the further complications of being addicted to drugs and gambling. The added burden that is already being placed on an economy and a society that is overburdened. Is there a solution? Is there an answer to the problems of stress and anxiety and worry and depression other than self-medicating and gambling in search of hope? Is there a solution to the uncertainty in our world? Is there hope? Can security be found in uncertain times? The answer is a resounding yes. I'm not a prophet of gloom this morning. I'm a bearer of good news. There is a solution. There is an answer. There is good news. We just sang about it. God sent His Son. His name, they called Him Jesus. Amen. That's the answer. The condescension. He came down from His glory to dwell amongst us. Not only to dwell amongst us, but He came down in the incarnation to become one of us. The enfleshment of God. He became man. Not only did He dwell among us, but He went to the cross and paid that sacrifice, the penalty for our sins in our place as our substitute. Not only did He die, but He rose again in resurrection power and ascended into heaven. He's conquered death. And so if you believe the Bible this morning, the Word of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. If you believe God this morning, who is from everlasting to everlasting, the immutable, unchanging God, if you believe the Word of God that's forever settled and will never change, and its message of God's love, and that He sent His Son, and they called Him Jesus, and He came, He condescended, He was incarnate, He was crucified, He rose again, He ascended into heaven, and if you believe it this morning, then you have security. That security is found in Jesus Christ. I'm glad for my heritage this morning. I'm glad for the time that I was introduced to the Bible as the Word of God and found its message of God's love. I'm glad for the time I encountered God through Jesus Christ and recognized Him to be my Savior. Because in these uncertain times, I have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. I have security in these days of uncertainty because of the Word of God, because of God's love, because of Jesus Christ, who became my Savior and Lord. You know, because of the condescending, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, ascension of Jesus, we can find security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to the text this morning from Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Paul says, "You are dead." You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, you're offered a new life. The old life is dead. The things of the world, you're dead to these, but you're alive to the new life in Christ Jesus. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And what does that mean according to Psalm 91, verse number 1 and verse number 4? Let's go back to that image. Let's go back to that picture. It means that you will dwell in the shelter of the Most High. It means you will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It means He will cover you and completely protect you with His pinions. And it means that under His wings, you will find refuge. Just think it out this morning. Just think about it. Just think about it. The Bible introduces us to Jesus and God's love. And when we accept that message of salvation provided freely for us, we have security regardless of what happens in this world in which we live. We dwell in a place of shelter. We remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. It is there, like the chick or like the egg, we were covered, completely protected with His pinions. And under His wings, you will find refuge. Sounds like security to me. Security in Christ the Savior under His wings. And before we sing that hymn this morning, let me just sum up with an illustration this morning. And I'm going to ask Lois if she would come to the piano this morning. And we're going to sing that old hymn, 342, which says, "Under His wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him. I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever." And ask Dina to come, and she's going to help out as Lois plays and lead in that singing. But before we go there this morning, I just want you to follow me with this particular illustration to conclude my message this morning. I have in my hand this morning an egg. You're all familiar with an egg. You all know how fragile an egg really is. And if I were to take this egg and release it and let gravity do its work, it would hit the floor. What do you think would happen to the egg? It would crack. It would be broken. It would be a mess. You see, that's a picture of humanity because of the fall back in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. We are broken. We are a broken people. We are a very fragile people. What would happen this morning if I were to take this egg and tap on the shell with this device? It's so fragile it would crack. It would break. That's you and I, my friend, in a fallen world. That's you and I before we met Christ. That's you and I in our old life. But you see, Paul says now we're dead. We're dead to that old life. We have a brand new life because of the resurrection of Jesus. And he goes on to say that that life is now hid with Christ in God. My life in uncertain times, my new life that I have, is hid with Christ in God. Now, if I tap, what's happening to the egg? I could really put a lot of pressure on it. I could really put a lot of force unscathed. May have felt some of the pressure but didn't break. You see, that's your new life, hid with Christ in God. And the pressures of life beat upon you. We're still in this world, but we have found a place of protection under his wings, covered by his pinions, covered by his feathers. We have a place of security. You know what's going to happen? Just as what happens to the fertilized egg that's under the mother hen. There comes a time when the life that's inside of this will break through this frail shell. And there will be a whole new life as a chicken is hatched. Friends, the place of security in uncertain times is to have your life hid with Christ in God. The pressures of stress and worry and anxiety and depression and all of the things that's happening in this world in which we live, they'll beat up on us. We'll find the pressure. But we're safe. We are secure. We're under his wings. And then one day, one glorious day, when Christ shall return, we'll break forth in a new life. I show you a mystery. We'll all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Then when the dead is raised incorruptible, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God this morning. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We await that moment because of the crucifixion, because of the condescending of Jesus, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the blessed hope of his coming. We're going to burst forth into a new life, a body that's prepared for heaven, glorified, to spend eternity in the presence of God, exactly the way that he designed it before the fall. Would you just allow that to give you comfort this morning? You felt the pressures of the week. You feel the pressures of the time. You feel the uncertainty and the confusion of the age in which you live. But this morning, let's just take a moment in the sanctuary, in the place of protection, in the place of refuge, in His presence, to realize that we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings. I'm safely abiding. I don't know if we have that one. We don't have it. Well, you just listen to the words as they sing it this morning. Let's stand, shall we, in His presence, and we're going to dismiss just shortly.
Under His wings, I am safely abiding.
Yes, a place of refuge. Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. Here will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Those of you that know Jesus in a personal way this morning, you long for that time when you are going to be released into His presence. In the meantime, you have that assurance that you have security under His wings. Maybe you have never come to that place of accepting Jesus and embracing this security that He offers. You'd like to do it this morning. We invite you to come forward and and make a public confession of your faith in Jesus and enter into that place of security. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been going through a time of pressure and you've felt the outward forces and it's been a bit scary and it really sometimes causes you to fear. But you need not fear. But if you'd like encouragement this morning and in prayer, why not step out and or turn to somebody and say, I appreciate your prayers this morning. Whatever the case is, just take this moment and let it be a personal moment right now for the next 60 seconds as we go down through this third verse again. Let it be a personal moment for you of experiencing God's love, the presence of the Holy Spirit, making Jesus real in your life, and embracing the hope that's found in the Word of God this morning, that you can take with you as you leave this building, face another week under His wings. God bless you as we sing verse number 3.
Under His wings, oh my precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er.
Yes.
Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings,
oh,
who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul
give ministry this morning. The love of God. The love of God. The body of Christ. You're representing the body of Christ this morning. Invite everybody, if you would. We're going to dismiss around the altar. If you need to go, that's fine. But let there be love this morning. In you dwells the Spirit. In you dwells the Spirit. Oh, God, by your Holy Spirit, move through us. Move through us. Let's pray together. Your prayer is just as important as my prayer this morning. You are the body of Christ. We're members of one body. One suffers, we all suffer. And right now, Jesus wants to be glorified. Jesus wants to be magnified. His love wants to be supreme. Forgetting everything else and all that is that the enemy would just distract us from this morning. God wants to do a work this morning. Father, we sense your holy presence. We sense your holy presence. Oh God, when your children hurt, you hurt. But we're so glad that there is a balm in Gilead for the sin-sick soul. Not only, Lord, when we come to you initially, but we can always come back to you and turn to you in our time of trouble, in our time of need. You said you never leave us nor forsake us, but be with us until the end of the age. No, God, though the pressures may come, though we might hear the noise and the clamor of the world round about us, and we feel, Lord, and wonder if we're going to be able to withstand it, but our lives are hid with Christ in God, and there is no greater place of security. Pour into their hearts this morning as you pour out through us, as we pour out through us your people, Lord, that have been called by your name. And in the name of Jesus, we just pray for that healing flow that comes from the throne of God. Oh, God. God. Oh God, do a deep work, oh God. Do a deep work in this assembly, oh God, in the people's hearts. Lord, you know their hearts, oh God. And Lord, you want so much to pour in the oil and the wine. Oh God, help us to be receptive. Help us to be open. Help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to receive from you this morning, oh God, to be revived, to be rekindled, to be rejuvenated, to be refreshed, oh God, by your presence. Oh God, oh God, surround us with your love like a mighty sea. In Jesus' name, let there be a calm this morning. Let there be a peace. Let there be a security as we breathe together the name of Jesus. And in his name we have the victory. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. God be with you. Go in his name and be blessed.